It's time for TalkBack. TalkBack is your opportunity to communicate with us. Maybe you've seen something out there that you'd like to report on. Maybe you've got a question you'd like to ask. Maybe you just are wanting to communicate with us for one reason or another. It really doesn't matter. We are always waiting to hear from you, and our phone line, our TalkBack line, is always available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That number is 999-9876. You can call that number and report your observations to us. You can talk about some of the things that you've seen. Maybe ask a question if that's in your nature. It doesn't matter what the purpose, we're just waiting to hear from you. And we did hear from our friends down at the Forest View Middle School Bird Club in Baxter, Minnesota. Joey continues to see northern cardinals at the feeder. The pileated woodpecker has been joined by a red-bellied woodpecker. Ben is seeing common redpolls, pine siskins, and two brown creepers in his yard. He watched the two eastern cottontail rabbits fighting and jumping under his feeders in the backyard. He is looking forward to seeing the pine grosbeaks over his break at his grandparents' house in Roseau. Interesting note about the cottontail rabbits. I remember back in 1996 when we had so much snow, I got a note from one of my mother's good friends. She reported that the rabbits were eating out of her bird feeder by walking up to it on the snow. The snow was so deep that winter that the rabbits had no trouble getting to the bird feeder to eat some of the sunflower seeds, and they could do it by just walking up to it. And brown creepers that Ben is noticing, I won't say a common bird, but they're a bird that is here all year round, and they're sort of the anti-nuthatch, I guess, because the brown creepers seem to fly to the bottom of the tree. Their behavior is to come to the bottom of a tree and then work their way up the tree, sort of examining all the little cracks and crevices, looking for little insects that might have secreted themselves away in there. And of course, the nuthatch, his habit is to land on the tree and work his way down the tree from the top down. And I don't know if they're finding things that the other misses because of the angle that they're coming at it from, but it certainly is fun to see them. They have, the brown creepers, that is, have a little bit of a decurved beak. It curves slightly down, and it's a long, thin beak. The bird is about the size of a red-breasted nuthatch, not quite as big as a white-breasted nuthatch. And as its name implies, it is kind of a nondescript brown bird. But lovely to see. And, you know, you just never know. You could be looking outside your door this morning and find one. To continue, Nate is still looking for Canada geese heading south, and he heard some birds chirping, but did not see them. I suspect, down in the Brainerd area, the Mississippi River stays open there in town, and they get a lot of waterfowl in that area. And I suspect that there are probably some Canada geese who have elected to stay the winter in that area. And I have the same sort of thing going on up here. We have some Canada geese in this area that are staying on the river, and I doubt that there will be any more flocks of Canada geese heading south unless things turn really cold. Logan has been watching white-breasted nuthatches stealing peanuts from each other. One will hide the peanut from his feeder in the bark of a tree, and another nuthatch will fly over and steal it. This behavior seems to be sort of I won't say universal, but it certainly is something that's been observed in ravens as well. And the raven, or in this case, the nuthatch, will try to secrete a bit of food and cache it and maybe hold on to it and keep it for use later or for eating later. And what happens is the other birds are watching just as carefully as you might expect, and when that first bird who's stolen off with this piece of food hides it, the another bird will say, well, you know, the tyranny at the feeder is not worth the effort. I could go over there and steal that piece and probably get away with it. And they will. And in the case of ravens, the ravens will oftentimes make a steady defense of their cached food in order to keep other ravens from getting it. But it's one of those games where, you know, the longer and harder you work to defend that piece of cached food, the less time you can spend at the feeder where you got the food to begin with. Wyatt and Travis report the four thistle feeders at their home were busy with American goldfinches and house finches when they were home for those two late start mornings this past week. It also appears the northern cardinal and red-bellied woodpecker are becoming winter residents in their yard. A flock of European starlings have also found their feeders. Sam saw some very large sundogs in the sky Monday morning. He also heard trees popping, saw a large flock of snow buntings, found a lot of mouse tracks in the snow, saw tracks on the lakes, and a raccoon ran out of a brush pile his father was burning. I've kind of gotten away from burning brush piles for that reason and others. They become, you know, homes to a lot of critters, and I just try to make them in areas around my property where they're not going to be a problem. So I'll pile up the brush, and usually I start with some logs or a stump or something at the bottom to give it a little bit of a hollow spot, and then I just pile on the brush, and it's amazing who will find that place a comfortable home for the winter. The raccoons, for the most part, this time of year would be preferring to probably sleep for a while. They don't hibernate, but they do sleep for long periods of time, especially when it's cold. And it's been cold, so I would think that that's probably the behavior. Finally, Mr. Perry reports the mourning dove and fox sparrows are still coming to his feeder. He is looking forward to participating in three of the local Christmas bird counts. Well, that's our report for this week. Have a happy holiday, and we hope to see you outside. That from the Forest View Middle School Bird Club in Baxter, Minnesota. Mr. Perry is the teacher there. Our own Christmas bird count took place this past weekend. On Sunday, we were out stomping around in the woods. Maybe you saw a car full of people with binoculars staring at your bird feeders, and you were curious about that. We talked to a number of folks, and everybody, it seems, are fairly interested when you tell them that you're part of a group that are out counting birds for the Audubon Society and the Christmas Bird Count. It's quite exciting. Our count here was not as successful as last year, at least hadn't been at noon on Sunday when we last talked, but it was a pretty good count, and I know that our good friend and great birder Sean Conrad had found a number of waterfowl along the Mississippi River, including, he said, 8 tundra swans who have decided to spend the winter in the area. So if you're lucky enough to be along the Mississippi River in the Cohasset area, you might want to kind of keep an eye out for those very large white birds, and they will be pretty visible when they come along. So we will have complete news about our Christmas bird count coming up in the next week or so once the data is all collected and collated, and we'll talk to you about that when the time comes.